These eco-friendly needle-felted packers are super lightweight, sweat and odor repellent, have these felt tabs on them so you can safety pin them to the underwear so they don't move around or fall down your pant leg, have fabric on the back to prevent itchiness, and they're made from local, naturally dyed wool. If this looks like euphoria to you, DM me on Insta to learn more.
Happy 200th episode, ladies and gentlemen. And on that note, that guy, honestly, I think I can speak for all of us when I just say, I'm so sick and tired of these mentally ill people presenting their strange ways of life to us as if it's normal. Sir, that is a knitted dick. And it's not supposed to not only not be itchy, it's not supposed to exist. You have created a disillusioned world that makes you think that somehow you're unique and you're normal because you grew a beard, took testosterone, and made crocheted penises. When in fact, we are not feeling euphoria, we are feeling the effects of the mental illness that has struck our entire country. What the hell is going on? I thought by the 200th episode, maybe, just maybe, if God loved us, which he does, we would be spared from more of this. But I guess like the 10 plagues, we still have more suffering to go. Like watching more of these videos, we got a lot of that coming up. And on that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always use your support to fund very high resolution 8K graphics like this. My name's Elijah Schaefer. I am your top 17 host, or 19, I don't know. I'm just with all the canceled shows, which is an amazing thing. And I am joined by the lovely and the beautiful Savannah Hernandez.
What's up, guys? Lige, how are you doing today? Happy 200th episode. I actually have a very special song to play for us because it is our 200th episode.
Can we get confetti with the song?
Yes. There we go. Our production quality, man. I feel like this song is just our moods today.
Did you record this for me? I feel very special.
I did, last night.
Yeah, you know, I got... We do have some insane things we're going to talk about today. It's not all just fun and games and fake penises. I want to say we really dodged a bullet here. If you can go to my screen, Savannah. That HBO documentary that we were supposed to work on with HBO that was actually supposed to be really good. Mm-hmm. And then we decided to pull out like Biden pulled out of Afghanistan. It was messy, but we left the documentary. Yeah. Turns out that was a good idea. Mm-hmm. As The Atlantic says, January 6th wasn't a riot. It was a war. For 4 hours at the Capitol, a new HBO documentary is a vivid, terrifying picture of the violent insurrection. Oh, shut the fuck up, Sophie Gilbert, you bitch. Honestly, I'm so sick of these people. I don't care. But we're going to talk a lot about this. There's some crazy revelations that came out about January 6th, showing that it was probably federally inspired. We have the amazing journalist, founder, and editor of Revolver.News, Darren Beatty, who's going to be on the show later for a really intense interview that I am very excited about. And of course, we have more of the nonsense to talk about. But before we jump into that, you guys, the world is crazy. Inflation is already running hot. As you know, the last couple of decades has been insane, but more recently, it's like, is there anything that's affordable these days? And now the Dems are pushing their $3.5 trillion package that's going to just screw up the whole world. So here's the deal. If you think money grows on trees like our government does and just keep living in ignorance, if you're freaked out about the impact this additional spending is going to have on already high inflation, then please protect your savings now. Diversify your savings with physical gold and silver with Birch Gold Group. And I'm going to tell you what, Birch Gold Group is the company that I recommend for precious metals. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of satisfied customers. And they can help you protect your hard-earned savings. And right now, thanks to a little-known section of the IRS tax code, a little cheat code for you guys here, you can legally move your IRA or 401k into precious metals with no tax implications or penalties. To get started on protecting your savings with gold in a tax-sheltered account, request a free info kit from Birch Gold by texting the word OFFENSIVE, that's OFFENSIVE, to 989898. Text the word OFFENSIVE to 989898. This comprehensive 20-page kit reveals how gold and silver can protect your savings and how you can move your IRA or 401k out of volatile stocks and bonds into a precious metals IRA. There's zero cost, zero obligation to request this info. So why wait? I don't know. Text OFFENSIVE to the number 989898. Again, request this free info kit on gold now by texting OFFENSIVE to 989-898. Check it out today and actually protect your savings, which a lot of us probably don't have because we're millennials. But if, for those of you that do have it or those that want to start saving, again, text offensive to 989-898 because there's no better way to protect your savings today. So we obviously have a backwards world, Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, when you sent me this article and it was like, oh, January 6th wasn't a riot. It was a war. I mean, we've gone from insurrection. It was a war, apparently. Yeah. I didn't know that. I was there. I didn't know it was a war.
Yeah, I didn't either. From, you know, the outside where I was standing, where everyone is pretty much peaceful, and it was the Capitol police officers who were throwing tear gas and flashbangs at everyone that was standing there. I mean, that didn't look like a war to me. Maybe a very one-sided war, like feds against American citizens. I don't know.
Feds doing naughty things against the people of this country. I'll be damned.
Feds being feds, man.
Feds being feds. You know, it's funny, though, because when I see this and I look at this article and you go down and you start to read this from The Atlantic, right? They always use this picture, which was just a long exposure of the Capitol building that shows bright lights as if like the Capitol was on fire. You know, they always do this. They try to show like the Capitol was not on fire. Mm-hmm. The Capitol did not burn down. And that was one of the reasons why I knew that it was not fully instigated by Antifa. And I think I was right on that. Turns out it was actually mostly apparently instigated by the FBI. Allegedly.
That'll happen.
Allegedly.
Sometime. Allegedly, of course.
Allegedly. And also gaslit by journalists or pseudo journalists. While they're taking time off from banging each other in gay orgies, they get together and they write articles like this. In the days and weeks after the storming of the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, commentators and media outlets grappled with the question of what to call the event. Literally, that's all they care about is narrative.
Mm-hmm.
These people, we just want to know what we're supposed to call this. How do the gods, the global elites who own our news companies, how do these banking families and whatnot, what do they want us to call this? What kind of divisive language can we use today? And that's what's so funny about an event like this. Nobody has to think about what to call 9/11. I mean, there's basically two options. It's either a terrorist attack or an inside job, or both, actually. So three. But when it comes to like D-Day, no one's like, what do we call D-Day? Do we call it an invasion? Do we call it an insurrection? When a real event happens that is impactful, there's only one usually thing to call it. And the only time you're trying to think of what you should call something is when you're trying to misrepresent it. Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right in that. And again, they have gone back and forth and they continue to evolve the language around what January 6th was. And it's so ridiculous. Like you were just saying, oh, this is worse than 9/11. This is a war. This is an insurrection. It's a coup. Like, take your pick on what it is. But the language continues to evolve because obviously the best way that the left can manipulate everyone is by manipulating our language and our words and our rhetoric. And so that's why we're constantly seeing this. And it's exhausting to keep up with, truly.
Yeah, and I love that, like, language is sticky. It's really not, actually.
Yeah, it's not. You guys are the ones that make everyone's life harder and everything harder by manipulating things and changing language and science and words and genders and take your pick. You know?
Like, gender's confusing. No, it's literally not confusing.
Pick one, male or female.
When I was a junior higher, I found out what stickiness was, and you clean that up with a rag. You need editors. You need a total clearing. And they go, language is sticky. It clarifies and obfuscates the truth depending on who's wielding it. January 6th was described as or likened to a riot, a tourist visit, an insurrection, a peaceful protest, and a coup attempt. And yet, watching the 4 hours of the Capitol, Jamie Roberts' tight, unsettling new HBO documentary about the day, another word seemed more appropriate to me. My truth. That's not what it says, but what I think. My thing. I am a loser, so I have to care what words I use. Here we go. One that most of the participants interviewed in the film might agree on more than anything else. January 6th was a war.
Okay, I would just love to ask if this woman has ever been to an actual war or seen actual war, because if she did, then I don't think that's how she would have categorized this day.
Yeah, like, so I have this little bruise right here, so we can't really see it too much, mm-hmm. but I got in a wrestling match with Gunter, my Vizsla, my little hunting dog.
Yeah.
And he has a little cone-shaped head, and it actually burst like some blood vessels and bruised my nose. In that case, if we're going to use the same standards, I went to war with my dog.
You were in a war.
That was a war.
How are you here today, Elijah? How are you here and present after all of the PTSD you must be experiencing after that war with your dog?
By the grace of God, I made it through those trialing times. Whose little peepaws, he slapped the shit out of my punchable face. And then when we went to confront each other on the battlefields of the carpet floor, the cone on his head did win a victory, but it hasn't won the war. The battle still belongs to the Lord, and I'm still here to live another day. And I just want to thank you, Savannah, for being here in tough times like this. That would be now the second war we've been through together. Apparently, the last one was on January 6th. And now, after this other war, it just makes me wonder, when will the world stop being such a violent place?
I know. And I guess that's why the media, too, is talking about how all of the journalists who were there on that day, specifically the left-wing journalists, were such heroes, how they had PTSD. It's because they were in a war the whole time. Well, I mean, I don't have PTSD from that day, minus, you know, despite what I saw there. But apparently it was a war and we didn't even know it.
Yeah. And actually, Taylor Hansen took the bait and got interviewed for this. I don't think they're going to frame him too well. Sorry,
Taylor. He actually
Taylor.
Already said that they spliced up his interview and deceptively edited it.
HBO deceptively editing things?
I know.
I will tell you this, though. I have a really good project that I worked on with Tucker Carlson and his team that I can't talk much about, but I know that... that whatever that project is going to be announced on his show tonight. So if you want to know what that project is, I would watch his show tonight. And also be weary and be open because I may or may not be on his show soon to talk about the project. And I'm very excited about it. But I will say, as we jump and we go further and further into this, that it's 200 episodes in. And I just want to thank you all that I'm not in prison. I was just talking to my CEO. And we're still talking about January 6th. We're still talking about mentally ill people. This doesn't stop. It's not going to stop. And we're not slowing down either. We're not going to go away. My friend Keith said his favorite episodes are when just it's me and Sav, and then we do an interview at the end. And so, Keith Morrell, this episode's for you, bro.
Shout out to Keith.
The boys get the boys back. I want to talk a little bit about this. So, obviously, we started out with, I don't know. Was that a boy or a girl? Let's just call it a goy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to that word of the goy. Mm-hmm. We had a goy come in and let us know that they have these artificial penises that can stick inside your pants. Now, I want to point out a few things. Whose penis looks like that? I don't know if you've seen a lot of them, Savannah. For the sake of the show, we're going to say that you haven't seen one yet.
Yeah.
Just hope that's true. You know, I've seen a few. I have three. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, everyone's seen a penis at some point. Like, even if you were not sexually, your dad, somebody. And I just want to know
this. Open a biology book. We all kind of know what they look like.
I mean, I'm all for supporting the grower gang. Will you guys wear your out there? Hashtag grower gang. Let me know if that should be a t-shirt. I'm working on amazing merch I'm really excited about. And I want to remind you that the basic merch that we have right now that just says like slightly offensive, the hats and stuff, it can be found, the links in the description, and that's going away very soon. And we're dropping a new merch line that's actually extremely good, and I'm very excited, and I'm paying a lot of money to have it designed. So you guys better buy that stuff because it's by popular request, and this merch is barely around. But grower gang, we're around. This person's like, look, if you want to have an artificial penis, it's like, man, if I'm going to have a fake dick, I'm not going to go with an Asian one. Like, I'm going to do full on Congolese donkey dick. Like, if I'm going to fake it till I make it, why am I going to take this little thing and put it in my pants and be like, hey, yo, not only am I mentally ill and have a fake dick, but I chose a small one.
Well, maybe that's just the version for babies, because remember that they have knitted ones specifically for like toddlers and children. If maybe your child hasn't decided on their gender yet. So maybe that's just the baby version.
No, and that's why I don't know. And I'm really proud of this, actually. So we've been talking a lot about these pronouns and the madness. This is all going on while we're still worried about January 6th. That person's normal. They're not at a war with their own sanity. We're at a war with the insurrectionists. That we're finally bringing back the its pronoun, which I think is my favorite pronoun I've heard so far, because I think we've been using that one since the 80s, at least. Just it's an it, right? It's a goy. It's a girl boy. Like, I don't think this is anything new. Mm-hmm. People being confused about this. Let's go ahead and let's get a lesson on how to use its pronoun, video 2.
It said that he wants to get food for herself. So I was wondering if you wanted to go with them. Oh, she's a really good cook. Yeah, he'll make sure you leave full. Maybe you should go talk to them, see if it wants to come over for dinner later.
Oh, Okay, that was really unnecessary.
And this is where the show ends at episode 200. episode 201 is never happening.
BRB, we're going to go delete ourselves because we've seen enough.
Well, first of all, could we just point out the fact that not making fun of people, but also making fun of people, they always look a little bit like this, right? Like they always kind of have this look. And I don't know what the look is until last night. I was trying to figure out what that look is. And I'm going, what is that? Can you go to my screen here for a second? And I found this. Look, why do white non-binary people always look like this? And then you go back to the video that we were just watching. And literally, that's the same person.
Oh, man. I was watching this video this morning, actually. I don't know why I decided. Never wake up at 8 a.m. and immediately go to Elijah Schaefer's Twitter page. You will regret it. But I was watching this video. You should actually play it.
Yeah, look. It'll probably be a slightly slow render because but it's like, why do non-binary people look like this? And then this is the girl's daughter that's sharing it. I mean, it's just they all look like is that a Chucky doll or what is that?
Chucky's son.
Why do they? And go back to the video we were just playing. Dude, literally, they're all.
Why?
What did they all look like this?
Oh my God.
And I know these are probably minors, so I'm not saying that's a bad or a good thing. I'm not going to make fun of kids, but I will say they do all always look like this. And that's a truthful statement.
They don't look well. They really don't. That's what it is.
No, but they always have bad haircuts, mm-hmm. weird reddish hair color. The glasses or the dark eye shadow, the nose ring, and they're always either too, like, that person's actually in pretty good shape. So I'm not going to say anything, but they're usually a little bit pudgy. And I want to say, go off my screen here for a second. Just go off of it. I also had a similar interaction earlier. So a lot of blue check marks like to make fun of me, like these verified people. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about them making fun of me is that every time I look at them, 10 out of 10, they look like this. They always look like this. And somebody wrote me and they were like, you know, hey, that's obviously not okay. Like, what's wrong with a man wearing glasses and a beard? That's not exactly what I'm saying. Number one, I just want to say they do always look like this. So there's that. They always have these thick rimmed glasses and beards. And they always have these like retro, like tape t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And there's just this look, but it's more or less the look paired with the demeanor, right? It's this look. It's the
side smirk, like angling it down.
Can I give me your best pouty? Yeah.
Like I don't even take pictures like that. Like these are grown men that are like doing this whole thing.
But there is a similarity with the way people look. And I'll explain this to you. It is so important that we bring this out. Mm-hmm. The logical fallacies, I think, was that created by Aristotle? It might have been, are actually gay. I started to become anti-intellectual because I think intellectualism is homosexuality wrapped up in bigger words. And I mean that genuinely. Because I come out of the academic world, and that's why I'm actually anti-humor now. I'm clown-pilled, but I'm also pilled clowned, which is sort of, it's like a different thing, right? So the point of this is the few things. So if you go back to the picture, everybody knows rules of photography. People may not know. I used to be a wedding photographer. I had a business and I did quite well at it actually. And I'm quite good at videography and photography, which is how I know how to do a lot of this stuff. I've worked, you know, with people from Nylon Magazine, Hot Topic, et cetera. I've been around the block there. But when you're trying to make somebody look more feminine, especially a woman who may have a larger cheekbone structure, like the Facebook whistleblower, you have them sort of lean into towards the shoulder towards you, like this gentleman right here. And when you pucker up the lips, it gives off feminine energy. And so this man is supposed to be giving off feminine energy. And those are the people that are mocking us. Now, when you go, do all people really look like this? Well, when you scroll down here, you know this meme?
I do.
That's literally the classic guy. That's the guy.
That's the soy boy. That's the soy boy smile.
Look at that. Boom. And then there he is. That's the same person. But it gets worse. Because when you open this up, that's literally these guys. I told you they all look like this. This is how they look. And so you look at this And these are the pissed off SJWs. And you go, yeah, does your guy really, the people make fun of you really all look like that? Literally.
Yeah, it's just, I'm so tired of living in a society with such low testosterone men who are constantly like grandstanding and pretending that they're these like, what are they, male feminists who need to stand up for women. They're taking, I don't even have words for it. I don't even have commentary today because to be quite honest, I just feel so burned out on society, on politics, on culture. Like how much crazier can things get? We have people like getting upset over jokes that Dave Chappelle made. We have 9/11. Not 9/11, January 6th stuff happening.
Yeah, you know, we have crazy things. We have transgender jokes, 9/11.
No, 9/11 part two. Sorry, January 6th. I just get so tired and exhausted.
Well, I know, the reason why I bring this up, there's a holistic view, right? This is like a journalist or whatever, I believe, that is a verified journalist. Like these are the people that are calling January 6th a war.
Yeah.
And you get why. My boy couldn't even, he had a war with the duck face. Like you're a grown man. And it's just pathetic. It's pathetic. What a loser.
You know, I think the reason too why I'm just in this weird mood today where my brain's not really working and I just don't give a damn about any of these weak men anymore is because I was watching this video on Twitter of this woman who tells this individual on a New York City subway to take a chill pill and he punches her in the face. He just punches her in the face and then all of the men around her just don't do anything.
No, I know about that.
And that's this type of man right here.
All right, if you could pull off my screen here for a second, I do want to look at this. And that's why, like, you see this with we have these people talking about, like, bunny pronouns, that these are the people that are actually writing and in charge of these things. And I'm going to explain this. Go ahead and play this, and this is very important that we talk about this.
Hi, everyone. I don't think I've done, like, a general introduction yet as to who I am, so I thought I would do that now. Hi, my name is Bunny, and I use bun pronouns. So who am I? I am a gender-fluid, trans-femme, pan-romantic, great ace, white-passing Japanese person.
Okay. Can we just re-listen to all of those pronouns? Because there were so many.
I'll do that now. Hi, my name is Bunny, and I use bunny pronouns. So who am I? I am a gender-fluid, trans-femme, pan-romantic, great ace, white-passing Japanese person.
I'm losing the ability to make commentary on these videos because I've lost so many IQ points. Okay, so I did a lot of drugs in my life, but then, like, I stopped doing drugs. And I thought I could recover. And I had, like, I found, like, brain cells hiding behind the couches of the folds of my brain, the last few folds that existed.
Yeah.
And they're like, thank God, he's not doing drugs anymore. And then it's like, bunny pronouns, instant death. Instant death!
Your brain cells just suicided themselves because they were like, nah, fam, we're not here for this. We're not taking part in any of this. No, absolutely not.
No, I know. And there's so many words there. There's so many descriptors. It's so hard to keep up. I'm a femme. I don't even know what that was. Ace something sexual, pansexual, trans femme. Dude, what the fuck is...
Dude, I honestly, again, like, I don't even care about these insane people anymore. They need to be in insane asylums because they shouldn't be out in society. I shouldn't have to deal with this. It's absolutely, it's just stupid. It's just all so stupid. And these people need to just go away and not be a part of America anymore. I'm tired of watching these stupid ass videos. I'm tired of people like this being able to vote. Look at that thing. It's freaking weird and I'm getting mad and I'm trying not to curse. But why the hell are people in society allowed to be like this? Like, literally, they're mentally insane.
Yeah, I know. Hate speech.
I'm just mad, bro. Like, hey, why?
You're mad?
This thing is allowed to vote.
You're mad, and I'm over here wanting to hire this person as a cinematographer on a new movie I'm doing with Alec Baldwin. I'm just trying. You know, I'm just saying, hey, you want to be a cinematographer? I was looking for a bunny, Alec. Here's the gun. I don't know. Dude, look, if I had an answer for you and a solution to this, I don't, but I will tell you what I do have an answer and a solution for, and that's not being a Soylent like this and actually beefing up your body with the right proteins that you need, which is why you need to join the Moink movement today. Guys, if you are looking for meat and you are looking for the right quality meats that is farm fresh, small farm, so not only do you not get all these weird additives that are put on your meat and that they're soaked in chlorine, et cetera, you want fresh meat, but you also want to support farms that are excellent, that basically, you know, are supporting small business and not big food, but you don't want to pay these extreme prices, you need to know about Moinkbox. So they send whatever you want to your door. I love their ribeye. That is my favorite thing I've had from them. They have amazing Atlantic salmon as well. And so many different options. Their bacon is out of this world, and it comes shipped in a nice big box. It's flash frozen, I believe. So it's perfect. You put it in your freezer, use it when you need it. It's good to store up on some of this stuff as well. And it's so fresh and you're not poisoning yourself. And I'm trying to get those gains right now. I am trying to get ahead. So I am eating my Moinkbox and I'm very happy about it. If you sign up for this monthly subscription, you can choose what you want, mix and match. And I promise you'll love everything they have to offer. And if you go to moinkbox.com/offensive, that's moinkbox.com/offensive, you can get free bacon for a year right now. So you get free bacon for a year, which, and the bacon is thick cut, it's smoked, it's amazing. You get free bacon for a year, but you also get access to all different types of things. You can mix and match whatever you're looking for, and it's high quality. That's right. If you go to moinkbox.com/offensive and sign up today, you get 1 year of the best bacon that you'll ever taste. And I mean that honestly. I put on an Asiago cheese, half Asiago cheese bagel with a little bit of cream cheese, an omelet, and their bacon. I'm so hungry. It's so good. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste for limited time. Go to moinkbox.com, moinkbox.com/offensive right now. That's moinkbox.com/offensive. Sign up, get your meat today, and man up, woman up, and get that healthy meat that you need for your body. All right. So let's talk about this as we get into this. So somebody who's probably not taking Moinkbox, you're talking about the fact that, you know, Sav, you need to get married. That's what you need. You need a big man.
I know.
You need to have a man to show you what you need. And you need that.
I could get married, but this is what I have to choose from in society, these types of things.
That looks like somebody who would buy a knitted dick.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, you see a cute guy at gym class and then he gives you one of these and you're like, oh, you're a gay. Great.
What do you think about my mustache?
I like it. It's very manly. It's very Western, very Texas.
Kez likes it.
Oh, gosh.
No, I mean, she likes it. She does. She genuinely likes it. I feel the pain of a society that is just, like, there are gay people who watch this show that, like, and lesbians and stuff who probably watch us and go, you know what? You're right. The world's gotten too damn gay. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, people think when we say that, we just hate everybody. Mm-hmm. But, like, there are genuinely gay people who watch the show, I promise you, who watch this. And even for them, they're like, look, man, they're like, I'm gay, but this is gay.
You know what? And I think that I've just gotten to the point, truly, Lige, and I don't know, I'm sure you feel this way, where it's like we were inclusive, we tried to be nice, we tried to be accepting, and this is where we're currently at in society, where we have people calling themselves bunny pronouns, Jeezer, Gem, whatever, freaking demon pronouns, and it's just like, at what point do we finally decide, like, okay, enough is enough? I've already been at this point for the past couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and it's still going, and it's still getting crazier by the day.
Well, look at this. This is one of the least alpha tantrums ever. Reminding you too, we'll talk about this, the hierarchy between the right wing pronouns. We'll get into this, but let's watch this.
Never be a beta. Just never ever do it. It is death. Never ever ever do it. Okay? Just wipe that out of your mind. It is nothing good comes from that. Ever. Okay, the only thing good is if you're like in jail and you're about to get shot. You're like, okay, you know. Other than that, if you're in a free society, don't do it. It just doesn't happen. It cannot happen, okay? Now, going from there, and by the way, the sooner you accept this, the easier life gets. You're like, oh, life is actually awesome when you accept it. As long as you don't accept it, and you're like, I just want someone to like me for the real beta me, your life's gonna be freaking miserable. People around you will be miserable, and you will be miserable. So just get over it. Now, okay, it doesn't mean to walk around paranoid. An alpha male is comfortable with themselves. Now, going from there, what you have, okay, the number one trait of an alpha is self-comfort. So just be comfortable with yourself. Stop being uncomfortable with yourself and hiding.
How did he scream in a whisper?
I know where that guy should get a podcast. I will tell you on that, I did not see that. Did I send that to you or did you put that in?
No, you sent that to me.
Okay, I don't remember sending that to you. I believe that I sent that to you. I see so many weird things. Can we break this down here? This is this week's video breakdown. The scoop neck. The scoop neck, we got a lot going on here. Let's talk about this, Savannah. For those that are the blind viewers, remember this is an audio-only podcast, and we'll read your reviews later on in the show as well. But don't forget to go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts, and download the show, because it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It helps us out so much. And we, again, we'll read a couple of these later on the show. But as we break down this video, the scoop neck is the first sign of red flag. Red flag.
Yeah.
It's boat neck, scoop neck like that. Too low, bro.
Too low. You can kind of see the top of his man boobs. Not trying to, you know, shame anything here, but it's just like that. That is a low scoop neck.
Yeah. And I also like this too.
You ever just want to like emphasize something? So you're just like, I am angry.
Somebody's got to keyframe a eggplant. Like right there. It's like.
No.
It's like, okay, so he starts out with a very questionable, very sus scoop neck.
Okay, can we also assess the fact that his jeans are a little bit tight?
Yes, we're going down there.
I like how this show is just us judging people now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Judging people we're for 60 minutes girls. With me mm-hmm. and with Sav and Elijah.
Yeah.
I think that's why people like this though, because this is what they're thinking, and then we're just saying it because it's true. Yeah. So we got the scoop neck, the chain. Look, I think men and jewelry, there's like a few type of men who can wear jewelry successfully. Mm-hmm. Black men, Italian men, done. All right.
And gay men?
No, they don't wear it well. It doesn't look good. But like the low necklaces, like I understand a little cross or something like that. If you're just like, you know, it's part of your heritage or maybe, I don't know, maybe a locket of your like wife or something. Maybe something.
It's the
I don't
fact
know.
That it's multiple chains going on here. It's yeah, two chains.
And then the jeans. Like this is how petty we are on this show, guys. If you watch this, people are like, "You guys are so petty." I'm not watching this anymore. I have bad news. We're gonna get increasingly more petty over the years. So like, just track with us here for a second. The wash on the jeans, like, sir, you couldn't decide if you wanted to wear light jeans or dark jeans. The holes. The obnoxious shoes.
It looks like he fought with Gunther in those jeans. It's kind of what he got
back from January 6th fighting an insurrection. The shoes, the busy pattern on the t-shirt, the fact that his legs look like they belong on a man with half the size of his torso. He literally looks like someone who would mock me on Twitter. And if you're watching this is you and you're a really cool guy. I'm okay with that. I really am okay because anybody who's also obsessed with this beta alpha is usually lame. Like people who really are like, I'm going to be alpha and I'm going to be beta, usually probably are not an alpha if you're obsessed with telling people they're betas. Do you know what I mean? Like, you really think like no alpha's walking around concerning themselves with anything like this.
Well, no alpha's saying, I'm an alpha. Like, if you are an alpha, you don't have to say it.
If you're an alpha, you're not wearing the scoop neck.
Yeah.
And he's also kind of fat. Like, I'm not trying to be rude here, but the guy's big. He's a big boy. He looks like an egg boy. And I think you kind of have to be in shape to lecture people on this. You could be an alpha, probably. Like, just like I meet big dudes who are fat, who are like, they sit there, they don't give an F. Like, they just like sit there fat and they're like, yeah, I own the world. And it's like, cool, man. But like, you know, to stuff yourself into like a little like leotard, I imagine his shirt's probably one of those onesies that's like buttoned underneath. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I own a couple of those actually.
Yeah. The little buttons that are meant for easy access to women. But then with him, you just get a little hairy. No, you open it up, you unbutton it, and you find a little crocheted dick in there.
No. What is happening this episode?
This was a breakdown. No, but I was going to say, it's too much to understand, too much to process. And I, when I see this though, people have had enough. Kyrie Irving, the basketball player who was not allowed to play in New York for not being vaccinated. People have had enough. And this is the most brainwave breaking experience. They actually stormed Barclays Stadium or arena, I should say, in support of him. And this is where I think journalists are having a really hard time covering this, because you got like black security fighting black protesters who are protesting for a black man to have the right to play. And I support this.
And you know what? I think it was also a Black Lives Matter protesters teaming up with Trump supporters to protest for Kyrie to be able to play. So we've gone back to that now, where BLM and Trump supporters are teaming up to push back against mandates. So, I mean, I guess that was the pivotal thing that needed to happen to bring people together.
You know, I was never, I've never been against using force to achieve your goal. I just am against using misdirected force. Like that's why, like, Afghanistan, misdirected force. I'm not against war. I'm against useless wars. That's the point. If you want to go to war for a just cause or for a good reason, I'm all for it. Sign me up. Holy war. Let's go. But when you're storming the gate and someone's doing something that's violating human rights and they're not listening and you're trying through the courts and the Supreme Court isn't backing you up and you do this, they're not killing anyone. I support this fully. I think this is very based and I'm very happy BLM is directing their anger. And I don't think black people don't have reasons to be mad or don't have reasons to be mad at the government. I mean, the feds didn't just get involved in January 6th. Look at the entire crack trade. Like somebody told me, they were like, oh, so just because the feds were involved, we shouldn't prosecute people. What do you think about the crack trade? This black liberal guy. And I was like, yeah, that was effed up, man. And everyone that started that should be in prison. Like, what's your point? Fed involvement in causing problems in our country? Yeah. That's a huge freaking problem. I saw a video that was really white pilling yesterday on TikTok. It'll probably be taken down.
What's white pill? Like, makes you happy?
Yeah, it was a shipping container cargo ship that hired private security to defend off Somali pirates. Mm-hmm. And it was just a video of the private security up on the cargo ship behind sandbags, just absolutely tearing to shreds the pirates as they were coming in one by one on speedboats and just literally killing everybody who tried to board the ship.
Isn't it kind of cool that there's still like pirate wars, essentially?
Yeah.
And pirates out in the ocean.
Seeing Somali pirates get obliterated actually gave me hope. I'm going, this is how the world should work. Like, you want to try to rob a ship, they're going to blow you apart. And then reading the comments is what blackpilled me again. They're like, this is so bad for the pirates. Give them a chance. Like, you just killed them. It was like, no, I want to live in this world where pirates try to come on your ship, but you have machine guns and you're in international waters, so there's no restrictions and you have 50 cals and you just start blowing up their boats. And that's the world I want to live in. I want to live in the world where you tell people they can't play because they're not vaccinated against COVID. They storm and occupy your center. Like, I want the world to come back to a little animalistic brute behavior, but I don't want it misdirected. Like, that's the difference. I don't want, like, why are you looting an Asian man's shop because you're mad about black injustice? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's mm-hmm. the stupidity. Not to mention, there hasn't been any black injustice shootings since Biden took office. So Biden cured racism. Remember that? There was only black injustice while Trump was in office.
Yes. So
pretty
true.
Good, huh?
Shout out to Joe Biden for doing everything he promised, really bringing us all together, healing the economy, healing the divide in America. He's done, I would say, an excellent job. So I really don't know why his poll ratings are tanking, to be quite honest with you.
No, I know this. We have this. Not only did he attend a super spreader event in Virginia for McAuliffe. Yeah, for McAuliffe, for Virginia governor. Mm-hmm. But he also he is a super spreader. We have a video of him. He coughed into his hand and then he went ahead and shook the hands of people. So he's like, and then he's looking to shake the hands. That was me this morning waking up, like, with my hands. It's like, where am I going? What's going on here? He's like,
Oh, look, and then I love how his security and, again, all of the peons in society, all of these servants to Joe Biden are wearing face masks, but he isn't.
Because he has dementia.
Yeah, he doesn't have to. And people point that out a lot, how it's basically like the servant class now that has to wear face masks. And we've seen that time and time again with like all of the award shows, the VMAs, blah, 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 where everyone who is the help is all wearing face masks and then the elite in society don't have to wear them.
Yeah, you saw this. These Australian people in pens, they've treated us like cattle. You said they're like peons, but this is on Australia. I never fact checked where this was from.
Yeah, this is in Australia.
Oh, God. This has got to be a New South Wales, maybe.
I believe so. NSW?
Yeah, it's got to be a New South Wales. This was talking about where Sydney is. But like, the people are in pens like cattle and still wearing masks outside to what I presume is just watching a sports game. Maybe it's polo. Maybe it's a horse race. Maybe they're just enjoying the park. I don't know, but I do see, like, this is what they've put us into. People are waving like, woohoo, I'm living my best life. What a horrible way to live. What stupidity has befallen us that we've accepted this denigrating way of life? I have objected to it. I am removed from it. I don't want to play a part in your world. And like I said, you can kick me out of your society. I voluntarily remove myself. Fuck you. Honestly, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Get your eco-friendly wool dick out of my mouth.
Yeah, big facts. Yeah, you know what? The big frustration here, and I think, too, Elijah, why you and I probably feel wary is because the people hold the power, and I think we are frustrated because we know that if all of those people said, hey, no pens, we're just going to sit out in the grass like normal people and no one adhered to these guidelines and rules, we wouldn't have to live this way. But because the people refuse to acknowledge that they hold the power in society, because the people refuse to stand up and take back their rights, mm-hmm. we will continue to live this way forever. The government will never give us back our rights, and the people refuse to take them back because they are unaware of how much power they hold, and so this is our new normal.
Yeah, I like Heated Up Savannah because, you know, the thing is that these people are so deluded that, you know, like as you see things that are real issues, not like COVID playpens or whatever the hell's going on here, you know, we don't get the answers to the things we do want because they continue to change their narrative. And who does they? The feds. Obviously, we see that BlueAnon, the Democrat conspiracy theory group that makes up everything from Russia collusion to the fact that it was the most fair and free election with Biden, et cetera, has now, instead of trying to actually find solutions, has said that they believe that from January 6th, the DNC-RNC pipe bomber, which the feds never caught, was actually Marjorie Taylor Greene, a congresswoman who they don't like because she's an American who looks like Americans, acts like Americans, was elected by Americans, and doesn't play their game. Let's watch this.
Maybe you've seen this video. Maybe you haven't. The problem is far too many people haven't seen this video. And maybe the DOJ is looking into it. And maybe they're not. But the problem is, she's still running for Congress. And there's nobody in the Republican Party that's going to oppose her. Marcus Flowers is a Democrat running for Congress in her district against her. He's worthy of your vote. But it's a deeply red district.
Why are these people so
they
crazy?
Are stupid enough, racist enough, bigoted enough, and traitorous enough to still vote for her. After all of her abuse, assaults, threats of physical harm, terrorism, her utter stupidity in Congress, and Congress won't do anything about it, and the DOJ isn't doing anything about it, she is arguably the most horrible thing to happen to Congress in forever.
Okay, just stop this. Okay, so go to my screen. Exactly. I wasn't lying. 10 out of 10. These people look like this.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And for the podcast listeners who missed the video, this man is essentially saying that Marjorie Taylor Greene could be the pipe bomber because she holds her purse with the same arm that this bomber held this bag with.
The pipe bomber was breathing oxygen. Do you know who else breathes oxygen?
Elijah Schaefer.
I do. What if I was that person? Ooh. Well, the feds still haven't caught the pipe bomber, but they have been catching some people. You know who else they haven't caught? An explosive piece came out from Revolver.News that actually used a lot of our footage to identify and to write the story. If you notice there in the middle, the image that is being used has our logo on it. That is that picture right there in the red hats is from my footage. We are finding out more importantly that, you know, not only was Marjorie Taylor Greene possibly the pipe bomber, but in real news that the people who planned the most dangerous and deadly insurrection in galactic history, worse than the Death Star blowing up, might have actually been the FBI. There is a man named Ray Epps who was caught on video and it was released, who was recorded encouraging and was the first instigator of trying to get people to infiltrate the Capitol building. And, you know, it turns out that he may actually be a government asset. Now, this explosive piece, you can check it out on Revolver.News, breaks down the fact that not only was this man given some sort of immunity from the federal government, but he was completely scrubbed from their most wanted list and remained free, while some people got 8 months in prison for walking through the Capitol. This man not only was near and entered the Capitol, but also, on top of that, encouraged the violence and was involved in the first instigation of violence. And I don't know as much about this as some people do. I have read this. It's very long and it's extremely important. You should share it with people. But I know who did write this and who does understand this, and that is the amazing journalist, founder, and editor Darren Beatty, who is a friend of the show and on the front lines of all of this madness. He's worked with the Trump administration, and he's also just a pain in the ass to the far left, who's busy trying to blame Marjorie Taylor Greene for the January 6th assault, when in reality, it's like the feds are the ones who allegedly are the ones who caused January 6th and are continuing to propagate it. And so I wanted to invite Darren Beatty on the show. But before we jump into that, I do want to let you know something very important. You guys, whether you're on your commute, you're walking, you're running, you're driving, nausea can strike when you least expect it. And that's the worst part about it. Once you feel nauseous, you really can't get anything done. And of course, there are medications and there are ways that you can treat this. You could lay down, but you may not have the time. Which is why I've got to talk to you about Relief Band. Now, this is a technology that was invented decades ago, but of course has been used and refined in a way to actually stop nausea. And what it does is it actually basically blocks a signal through a nerve by using this band that actually prevents you from feeling nauseous. And of course, people are like, okay, how is this actually real? I'm telling you, I'm getting messages from you guys who are buying this, and it actually is working. I'm going to be getting one for my dad as well for whenever he feels nauseous or doesn't feel well. This is a non-invasive, non-pharmaceutical, narcotic way to tackle your nausea where it starts. And if you're getting ready to take that summer road trip or winter road trip, go on a boat, or you're just anxious about heading back into the office, I've got good news for you right now that Relief Band has an exclusive offer just for you guys. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code OFFENSIVE, that's OFFENSIVE, you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping and a no questions asked 30-day money back guarantee. So when you actually use this is approved. This works well. It's 100% drug free, non-drowsy, and provides all natural relief with zero side effects. And they also have a 30-day money back guarantee. So the cool thing about this is that if you're skeptical or you don't know, and you're like, can this help my nausea? Guess what? If it doesn't work, you can send it back. That's why I like to advertise this. But for many of you guys, you're finding relief from your nausea. And for those of you guys that suffer from nausea, you're finding a very good way to do it. So please head to reliefband.com. Use my promo code OFFENSIVE. That's reliefband.com. That's reliefband.com. And use my promo code OFFENSIVE to get 20% off plus free shipping right now. 30-day money back guarantee. That's reliefband.com. Use promo code OFFENSIVE with a 30-day money back guarantee. And of course, to talk more about what makes me sick and the mischaracterization that was going on in January 6th, I'd like to welcome to the show Darren Beatty from Revolver.news.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
So obviously, we've seen the videos. We know exactly what's been happening. There's been a lot of questions about the federal involvement in and around January 6th. And I read the article. It was lengthy. I've looked into the research. I know that some of the footage that you used was actually footage I captured. I was there. I know who Ray Epps is. I have encountered him. I've heard him speak. But from all of your deductions here, do you believe firmly that all of this information points that he is in fact some way connected to federal intelligence?
Well, I mean, that is an inference that one could make from the available evidence. There's no, I'd be the first to say we don't have any text messages between Epps and government handlers. We don't have any documentation indicating this. What we have are, very pointed questions, very suspicious activity. And so really, I think the suspicion needs to be directed to the government at this point, to Merrick Garland. It's on them to answer the question as to why, when they're interested, like, it would be one thing if the entire 1-6 event were not a high priority. But if the government and the media is painting the events of January 6th as the new 9/11, and if they've adopted this extremely aggressive prosecutorial stance, where in many cases simply just standing around the Capitol and doing nothing is sufficient to get slapped with charges, and you see many people literally rotting in prison for trivial offenses, we have to ask the question as to why, in this case, you have someone who, by all accounts, seems to be one of the key orchestrators of the initial breach of the Capitol. The only person we have in the mountains of footage of that event, the only person we have saying explicitly on tape, we need to go into the Capitol, saying that the evening before. And then you have them everywhere on January 6th, up to the point where the very first person who breaches through, Ray Epps, is the man who whispers in his ear literally 2 seconds before. And so the fact that the feds don't seem to be interested in him, and the still more suspicious fact that initially they had him on their FBI most wanted list, and then when Revolver started opening up the angle of FBI involvement, they took his name and face off. Those are very serious questions that the FBI director and the attorney general have to answer in order to clarify if there is an innocent alternative explanation than that Epps was basically working as an instigator and provocateur for the government.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've actually had quite a few individuals on legal teams, both for the government and for individuals at the front line there. What people don't realize is that the female who was injured to the right, who wasn't wearing a helmet, who hit her head on the stairs, apparently she still has a head injury and is unable to return to work. So they are prosecuting most of the individuals on that line for assault on an officer. And obviously conspiracy to assault an officer would be the obvious beginning charges for someone like Ray Epps. When you say that they began to scrub him from the records, do you believe that that had to do with the fact that perhaps he was working with them up front? Or do you think it's possible that he was given immunity to some extent, being pressured in the middle of these investigations with such high and severe charges possibly being pushed against him?
Well, I think both are very live possibilities. And just before I finish answering that question, I think in this case, the footage really does tell the story. And I actually didn't know that you took some of that footage. And so I've come to think that maybe after this, I should be the one interviewing you. And maybe we should do that because I find it fascinating that you've encountered this individual personally. So I'm very interested in your personal perspective. And given that you are have a front hand, you know, eyewitness experience to this, you know, and this is reflected in the video on Revolver.news and elsewhere, that Epps says to one of the many people that he seems to be working with, coordinating with, he says, "When we go into the Capitol, leave this here," referring to bear spray. "We don't want to get shot." So it's no question in Epps's mind that there's going to be some kind of siege on the Capitol. Some, you know, people are going in because he says just seconds before the initial breach, "When we go in, leave this here." So it would be one thing if he was just some kook the night before saying we need to go into the Capitol. But the fact that you have the same guy saying we need to go in when none of the crowd was thinking about this, and he's right at the barricades, right at the barriers, before the Trump supporters even really descended to the Capitol, and of course, largely by his assistants shepherding people there, he was standing there. He knew what was going to happen because he said, "Look, when we go in, leave this here." So as to the two possibilities that you mentioned, is he just someone cooperating after the fact, or was he a plant from the beginning? I don't know for a fact if it's one, the other, neither, or what. We don't have definitive proof anyway. But if I had to speculate, I would say it's more likely that he was a plant from the beginning. And I have several reasons to believe that. But one of the reasons is simply dispositional. You had a lot of people who got caught up in the mob psychology of January 6th. You have a lot of people who were extremely angry, that got worked up, and in the fray of the mob, in the heat of the moment, they let their anger and excitement take over and they did something stupid. They shouldn't be, you know, treated as domestic terrorists for it. But that's, I think, an accurate way to describe a lot of the people who broke the law on that day. In the case of Epps, I think one thing that's quite remarkable about him, in fact, if there were one word to describe Epps, his behavior on January 5th and 6th, I would say it would be professional. He approaches his entire being on January 5th and 6th with a kind of cool professionalism that is not really consistent with the radical nature of his suggestions. And I think that's one of the really, it's a subjective thing, but to me, it really strikes me, especially in contrast with the kind of anger and heat that a lot of other people have. This guy's just cool as a cucumber throughout the whole thing. Quiet, like calm professional, just redirecting everyone's animosity to say, let's focus on our mission. We need to go into the Capitol and no more than that. Like, you know, he's trying to tamper down the violence
and just get people to go into the Capitol. It's like, our mission is to go into the Capitol. That's all that's needed. I don't want anyone else to get hurt unnecessarily. And so the fact that he conducted himself in that cool, detached, professional manner from the very beginning indicates to me that there might be something more going on than simply he decided to cooperate after the fact.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that you say professional. So I have an individual, this is previously unreleased information, who was just visited 2 days ago by the feds, specifically the FBI, and was asked about specific interviews he had with key individuals involved in January 6th. Now, he actually has an interview with Ray Epps before all of this as well, and brought it up to the FBI specifically, unaware of your story. I just spoke to him, I believe that was yesterday. And when he mentioned Ray Epps multiple times, being that he had been previously identified, the FBI agents, you know, said that they didn't have, you know, a reference of who this was, that they were unaware, that they were uninterested. And so he has communications directly, and the FBI tells him, you know, they were interested in the man who sat behind one of the desks in Pelosi's office. They were interested in his interview with the shaman. They were interested in a lot of things. But of course, the individual that, you know, is on camera instigating, I mean, one could say if you want to trump up charges to insurrection to anybody, this could probably be subject A. The FBI not only says they don't know who this is, they don't care who this is, but as your work shows, they're lying. They do know who this is. They have known, but they've sort of erased him from the picture.
They do know. No, that's an excellent point, and a lot of things to say about that. That's actually very fascinating information. First of all, like, the FBI should know, again, like, they did one of their things, like, right after 1-6, where he was one of the first 20 people that they put on their most wanted list, and they did the FBI did one of their fake things, like, oh, we're really interested. We call on the public to help identify the guy. And then, of course, the internet being the amazing engine that it is, the researchers on the internet came up with his name like just days after, if not a week after, and it was just there. And the feds, of course, did nothing. And then 5 months later, they scrub his face from their list after Revolver does a report and after some other things happen. And so there's no reason for the feds not to know him. I guess if you're just dealing with sort of rank and file door kicker types, like, it's possible that one of the reasons that the Fed scrubbed his face off of it was to facilitate a kind of compartmentalization whereby, you know, the rank and file feds who are not, you know, reading Revolver News and not looking at all these things, they could just not know. And that might be part of the reason that they decided to take his face off. And so that's very interesting. And I think it's very possible with someone like Epps, given the history of infiltration operations into militia groups. And one thing we might talk about in a little bit is Merrick Garland's involvement in this, because this is not his first rodeo. He's been in this game since the 90s. And that is that for infiltration operations into militia groups, while the FBI might have some kind of coordinating role, the principal organizations behind this is actually the military itself, Army Counterintelligence, JTTF, and so forth. And so far, there is evidence that the JTTF has been behind the informant situation relative to January 6th. And I think that would be the most likely kind of operational connection between Epps and some kind of government entity.
And you brought up, of course, his connection with Stuart Rhodes as well, another individual who's,
right,
I would say, questionable, if not guilty of some sort of coordination,
right,
with the federal government. And so there is a lot of clues, just red herrings coming out here and there showing, you know, this guy probably had more to do with what happened that day than people are giving him credit for. And it's ironic, I think in the live stream, I'm not sure if that was a live streamer named Baked Alaska, it looked like him.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so a group of people that immediately could tell the prototypical language that this is very Fed-like. I know people use that and throw that around. Everyone's a Fed today. Everyone says that. But the truth is that a lot of people are Feds, because if you look at the way that they prosecute people, I mean, they'll give you 20 years in maximum security unless you just cooperate. So they blackmail these people until they get them subjugated. what could have been very strong men with good intentions, and they get in these positions. And so it is interesting, because if that man was on a live stream, right? So this is not a video posted after. He was on something live the night before a major rally calling for a infiltration past security measures. If the federal government didn't intervene, they're either extremely bad at their job, which is also a possibility, or like, as you mentioned, he's been working with them for quite a long time.
Right, right. And I think to some extent, it's both, because they ultimately got caught in something like this that they'd have to explain. And so they're able to sort of overcome their incompetence by the fact that they can just stonewall any type of question, no matter how damning, no matter how dark it is as to what it exposes or suggests. They've so far been in a position simply to ignore this, which is why I think it's very important for all of us to keep the pressure on, because 99 times out of 100, the feds in a situation like this can rely on the short attention span of the public to move on to some next dumb outrage, so, you know, the next thing that AOC says, and everyone will get outraged about that and they'll forget about this whole thing. So it's really key to maintain focus and keep the pressure and not let this go, because we've already put them in a much more uncomfortable spot than they've ever expected to be in.
Darren Beatty, the founder and editor of Revolver.News, he's developing a lot of stories, continuing on this. He's not letting this go, as there are still Americans that are being persecuted at the hands of the political regime and what is going on. And like journalists today, there are only several who are still able to be read and that are not insufferable. Darren is one of them. If you can check out his work, again, that's Revolver.News. You can read the full article, Meet Ray Epps, the Fed protected provocateur who appears to have led the very first 1-6 attack on the U.S. Capitol. Make sure you share it with friends and with family. And as you know, here at Slightly Offensive, you see that picture in the middle, you see our logo. We've been filming this. You guys have been tracking with this for almost a year now. But thanks to individuals like Darren, we are continuing to find out the truth. Darren, thank you so much again for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me.
Make sure to follow Revolver.News for many breaking news stories and amazing exclusives. He's on the front lines. It is a great news source if you're looking for one. And follow Darren Beatty online. He is widely hated, and obviously you know why. Really appreciate it. Wish we could have had more time. Anyway, as I mentioned earlier, please don't forget to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Guys, we are really trying to grow this. We are growing this successfully. They want us to increase our daily downloads by 8,000. And so we need more of you guys if you haven't taken that plunge. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the new show, You Are Here. Click the link below in the pinned comment or in the description. Sign up for my new live daily show. It's at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. Every single day, Monday through Friday. And so if you want more of this show, if you like more of me, well, you only get the show twice a week, but you can get a different side of me at night as well and subscribe to this channel. And if you want to support both shows and you want to take that a step further, don't forget to sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah to become an SOB, a Slightly Offensive backer. Guys, this helps us out immensely as we are demonetized everywhere. So all those ways, supporting the advertisers, leaving that 5-star review, that's a free way. If you're running low on cash, you don't have a way to support, but also if you've been waiting to take the plunge and you make it this far on the podcast, please become a member and sign up there and support us as we just grow in this fight. And as you see with even that article with Revolver, obviously the work we've done, the work we continue to do behind the scenes, it's just a lot. And obviously your support is just monumental. And I thank you for that. Let's read a couple of these reviews that we love too. We have a review number one from Mimi Pollock. Says, we rebuke you. Love listening to Elijah and Sav. Be mean, girls. Thank you. Please never stop making fun of fat, ugly demons with menstrual blood coming out for our children. It's so funny and I enjoy it very much. At least I'm glad, Sav, that some people like that.
Yeah, some people like us being mean. Ah.
Yeah, and we have Flowgrown1789 says, great show, 100. Keeping it real 24/7, a voice for the silent majority. The realist podcast out there tackling the real issues of American society today. Keep up the good fight, patriots. America first. God bless you and may God bless the United States of America. That is so absolutely true. We really thank you on this 200th episode from the bottom of our hearts. We're going to keep going. We got a lot to go on for the future here, and we have a lot of stuff in store for you. Anyway, thank you guys so much again for watching another episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV with Confetti of Color. Don't forget to follow me and Sav on social media. She also has a YouTube channel and Sav Says and a podcast, Rapid Fire, which you should subscribe to and leave a review as well. Support Savannah. If you make it as far in the podcast, you should be supporting her too, because you probably like her. And if you don't like her, you're probably gay. And then do it because you like me. Anyway, like I said, have a great rest of the week and may God bless the United States of America. We are signing out.